Today I want to speak on the anointing of Yehovah. The anointing is really important for every person who is in the kingdom of Yehovah. And I'm taking it from Shemot Exodus chapter 10, verses 24 to 26. So if we can have that up, please. There it is. Next slide. That's it. In Shemot Exodus it says, Paro summoned Moshe and said, Go worship Yehovah, only leave your flocks and herds behind. Your children may go with you. And Moshe answered, You must also see to it that we have sacrifices and burnt offerings, so that we can sacrifice to Yehovah our Elohim. Our livestock will also go with us. Not a hoof will be left behind, because we must choose from some of them to worship Yehovah our Elohim, and we don't know which ones we will need to worship Yehovah until we get there. So, to me, the key point of that is that Yehovah makes all the difference in how we serve Him. And to serve Him fully, we have to be anointed. We need anointing for healing. We need anointing for preaching or teaching. We need anointing for praying. We need anointing with dealing for people within the assembly. We have to have Yehovah's, and ministers have to have Yehovah's anointing on them, because before they can minister to the people. Before anyone goes into ministry, as I've said many times, if you're not anointed, you will burn out. And the people, all those within the room, all those watching online, all need the anointing for the people that you come in contact with and minister to as well. Anointing is having a divine, miraculous power of authority in the Ruach HaKodesh, or Holy Spirit, to do the work of Yehovah. This is something that can't be bought, it can't be taken, it can't be appointed by men, even though some expect that to happen. It can only be given by Yehovah through the Ruach HaKodesh. Yehovah does not look for our ability. He only looks for our availability. Nobody on the ministry team of Beit Gan Eden is given a role because they have said, I have a ministry in this and I need to do this. Or I have a ministry in that and can I do that? Their role is only recognized after they have proven themselves to be operating in their ministry gifts over time, and then they are appointed to the role if the board of BGEMC recognizes these gifts. The anointing is costly and does have a heavy price, and it's usually paid for before the anointing comes. Many people desire to do great exploits and miracles in Yah, but never pass the tests. Hence, the anointing never comes on their lives. Anointing oil is a necessary tool to have in your arsenal. I carry some in my handbag at all times. One never knows when it will be needed. The scriptures teach us on using anointing oil, one, for consecration, two, anointing prophets and kings, showing it being poured out on the individual's head, praying for the sick, and the Ketuvah HaShelekim, or the New Testament, tells us the Ruach HaKodesh is the one that gives the anointing. It can't be given by man, and it should never be given by man. As most of you know, I'm neurologically different from the norm, or non-neurotypical. I was always known as the introvert, and was very highly strung. An upfront ministry or anything else was never ever my desire. I was always content to act behind the scenes and blessed with a few gifts from the Ruach HaKodesh, such as healing, discernment, and prayer, and have always had a very strong gift of faith from a very young age. I made a commitment to Yehovah and to Yeshua HaMashiach over 70 years ago, and I have read the word every day of my life ever since, and I've never deviated from it. I have believed from a very early age that even if I couldn't tithe money, I could tithe time. And that was something that was very important to me, was making sure I spent an hour to 2 hours with Yah every morning of my life. How I got into the ministry was having a boldness to pray for someone when they needed healing. It was always one-on-one, and that was easy for me. I would do hospital visits representing the church I was in at the time. I would even go to ICU in the hospitals and pray for people when all their organs had shut down, and pray for them daily, placing scriptures of hope and encouragement over their heads and over their bed, not stopping until Yah told me to. And I would stay up all night praying for them. Yes, they did recover. And I was doing this even when I was working full time. And then I'd go back visiting the same hospital, and they would say to me, "When are you coming to pray for more patients in our ICU? We need you." But none of my people were in ICU, so I didn't pray for them. The anointing changes your personality, but you have to be prepared to allow the Ruach HaKodesh to change you. Once you have received the anointing, you are never the same. An evangelist's anointing is totally different to another's anointing. The evangelist has a boldness to bring someone they have never met before to the faith. Then they leave the cleaning process to somebody else. This is one of the reasons Minister Maliki and I work so well together, as he's the evangelist in the family. He catches the fish, then gives them to me to clean them through counselling and nurture. When Yehovah calls us, are we truly prepared to follow his calling? Moshe certainly wasn't ready, as he had excuses as to why he couldn't do it. It starts off in Shemot, Exodus chapter 3 and verse 11, when Moshe said to Yehovah, "Who am I that I should go to Paro and lead the people of Israel out of Egypt?" Moshe was a bit like me. He had an identity problem. I always used to think mine was because I was the second born of twins. My twin sister was the extrovert, and the two of us were known by the children next door as Jackie and More Jackie. We looked alike, but I never said a word, and she did all the talking. I was so quiet and nonverbal, they didn't even know my name. In Shemot, Exodus chapter 4 and verse 1, Moshe replied, "But I'm certain they won't believe me. They won't listen to what I say, because they'll say Yehovah did not appear to me." Once again, it sounds like my former self. With low esteem of himself, he had absolutely no confidence in doing what Yah was asking him to do. And in chapter 4 of Moshe, of Shemot 4 and verse 10, Moshe says to Yehovah, "O Yehovah, I'm a terrible speaker. I always have been. I'm no better now, even after you've spoken to your servant." Once again, it sounded like me. Being the introvert, the words never came out right. I felt a lack of skill. I know the feeling. I could never put two words together correctly. Always feeling insecure and agitated. And the words that came out were not the words that I meant to come out. Then Yah asked me to start Beit Gan Eden. So I also said to him, "I cannot speak in front of people. I can't do it." And his reply was, "I will supply the words." In 23 years, he's never let me down. The same applied to Moshe. Yah gives him all the instructions and the help he will need to fulfill what Yehovah has asked him. If you want to go in ministry, Yah will fill you with the words that you need if he asks you to do something. In Shemot, Exodus chapter 4 and verse 17, it says, "Now take this staff in your hand, because you need it to perform the signs." And in verse 21 of the same chapter, Yehovah said to Moshe, "When you get back to Egypt, make sure you do before Pharaoh every one of the wonders I have enabled you to do. Nevertheless, I'm going to make him hard-hearted and he will refuse to let the people go." Moshe was warned. He's going to have trouble with Pharaoh. Not only was Moshe going to speak to the Hebrews, now Yah is telling him he has to speak to Pharaoh, or the king and ruler of the land. That certainly would have been daunting for him. I know it would have made me want to run the opposite direction. Then Yah warns him, "It will not be easy to get your message across to Pharaoh," as he goes on to say, "Nevertheless, I'm going to make him hard-hearted and he will refuse to let the people go." Then we moved into Exodus chapter 7, verse 3. It says, "Well, I will make him hard-hearted, even though I will increase my signs and wonders in the land of Egypt." And in chapter 9 and verse 16 of Shemot, "But it is for this very reason that I have kept you alive, to show you my power, so that my name may resound throughout the whole earth." This is the reason Yehovah will keep us alive during this pandemic, because he wants to use us. It's a time of salvation. That to me is a very strange thing to say. Moshe was only out of Egypt for 40 years. 40 years in biblical terms is a generation. Obviously Moshe, who was saved from being killed as other Hebrew boys were at birth, raised by Pharaoh's daughter, then surely Pharaoh would have recognized him and even welcomed him back as a long-lost half-brother or cousin, as this is not how, because of the Pharaoh that was in power 40 years later. But this is not how history records the events. So let us look at today's reading. Yehovah said to Moshe in chapter 10, verse 1, "Go to Pharaoh, for I have made him and his servants hard-hearted, so that I can demonstrate these signs of mine among them." And in chapter 11, verse 9, we read Yehovah said to Moshe, "Pharaoh will not listen to you, so that still more of my wonders will be shown in the land of Egypt." It had to happen this way. If it didn't, the miracles of Yehovah could be shown to every Egyptian on the day and be recorded in history for all of his awesome power. And I'm sure you have all experienced what is called spiritual dryness. Have you ever prayed and never had your prayer answered? Have you never had a revelation and nothing you do for Yah goes as planned? Let us look at Moshe and how he was called to the ministry. In chapter 3 and verse 1, Moshe was tending the sheep of Yitro, his father-in-law. Yitro was the priest of Midian, obviously not known, not of Yehovah. Leading the flock to the far side of the desert, he came to the mountain of Yehovah at Horeb. He came to the far side of the desert, according to the scripture. A man or woman without the anointing of Yehovah was leading sheep to a dry place. Sometimes we can feel like we're leading sheep to a dry place. There was no water, no food, no anointing. It was like being in a dry synagogue with a dry spirit or no anointing of the Ruach HaKodesh. Then Moshe came to the mountain of Yehovah. There he found the fresh drink of the Ruach HaKodesh, or Holy Spirit. In Shemot chapter 3, verse 2, it says, "The angel of Yehovah appeared to him in a fire blazing from the middle of a bush. He looked and saw that although the bush was flaming with fire, yet the bush was not being burned up." And I spoke about this bush last time I spoke, a couple of weeks ago. When Yah puts his anointing on you, you will not burn up, and neither will your anointing dry out, because it is Yehovah who has anointed you through his Ruach HaKodesh. Yehovah will deliver. It says in Shemot chapter 3 and verse 7, Yehovah said, I have seen how my people are being oppressed in Egypt and heard their cry for release from their slave masters, because I know their pain. This is no different to what we're going through here and globally today. Yah sees all. Yah knows all. And I keep saying, Yah knows the end from the beginning. We only know where we're up to this date. But Yah knows how it's going to end. Yah has seen how oppressed we all are in our daily life. Being locked out of normal living, having to wear muzzles as face coverings, and mandating things that we have not agreed to. Yah knows what is happening with you and your situation. Yah heard their cry. You need to cry out to Yehovah with a passion. If you need to be heard, you've got to cry out to him. But you have to put your meaning into your requests of your situation. Be specific. Make sure you list the situation. Don't say, Yah, I want healing. No, I need healing from this fever. I need healing from lack of smell or taste. I need healing from whatever it is. Whatever it is that you need healing for, you've got to be specific. If you're not specific, Yah can't understand, won't heal you. Don't just pray for a job. Pray for a good paying job where your specialties will be celebrated. Not just any job. Yah will provide that job. Then before you see them in the natural, start thanking Yah. And thanking him for them as he sees them in the spiritual, and he's preparing them for you in the spiritual, you start thanking him for them because he's already preparing them. And three, he says, I know their pain. He is a personal Yehovah that cares. He knows your pain. Sometimes we have to go through it so that we put our trust in him and not on mankind for our circumstances to improve. It is a test. The whole situation where we're living at this time is a test. Testing our faith. Will we cave or will we hold firm? He goes on to say in chapter 3 and verse 8, I came down to rescue them from the Egyptians and to bring them out of that country to a good and spacious land, a land flowing with milk and honey, the place of the Canaanite, the Hittite, the Amori, the Perizzi, the Hivi, and the Yevusi. We are not in slavery yet, but we certainly are in bondage. Yehovah will save you, and he will help you. In chapter 3 and verse 12 he says, he replied, I will surely be with you. Yehovah will surely be with you. Your sign that I have sent you will be that you have led the people out of Egypt. You will worship Yehovah on this mountain. The place where Moshe was a dry shepherd, but will return as an anointed leader, that is where the Torah and the 10 words were given once he rescued the Hebrews out of Mitzrayim, or Egypt. I'm sure that wasn't coincidental. I'm really sure. Because he said, you will return. In Yochanan Aleph, or 1 John 2:27, it says, as for you, the messianic anointing you received from the Father remains in you, so that you will have no need for anyone to teach you. On the contrary, as his messianic anointing continues to teach you about all things and is true, not a counterfeit, so just as he taught you, remain united with him. As long as we remain united with Yehovah through Yeshua HaMashiach and receive the anointing of the Ruach HaKodesh, he will lead us into all truth. There is proof of that in our lives today, through the personal decisions we make for our life and the lives of our children at this time. We are going through testing, but we will be found worthy in the end. I love the way how Yah speaks to me so that there is no fear in what is coming. He showed me very early in 2020 that this was a plandemic, not a pandemic. Last week he showed me that I would not be able to visit my doctor but have a Zoom consultation because of the mandates. This week my doctor sent out an email to all patients that she would not be reopening after Christmas and all consultations will be held over Zoom. He pre-warns me so that I can be prepared for that, and that matter, and for that matter, help prepare you. We have to wait and be prepared to have things change. But we shouldn't fear the change. We shouldn't get upset about the change, because Yah will find a way. In Yaakov or James chapter 5 and verse 14 it says, Is someone among you ill? He shall call for the elders of the congregation. They will pray for him and rub olive oil on him in the name of Yehovah. I'm begging you, and I mean this, I'm begging you, please contact me or anyone who is part of our ministry team that you feel comfortable with to pray for your healing if you are not well, or pray for your situation, no matter what it is, if you need prayer. We cannot pray for you if we haven't been told. Yes, sometimes Yah will lay someone on our heart so that we start praying for them, or I will ring them up to see if everything's okay. But we cannot guarantee your healing or whatever it is that you need fixed if you do not contact us so that we can pray. We do have people of our congregation who have this Omicron variant. My phone number is in the newsletter, and we can let the prayer team know your needs, and the whole prayer team can pray for you. In Matthew chapter 6 verses 17 and 18, it says, "But you, when you fast, wash your face and groom yourself, so that no one will know you are fasting except your Father who is with you in secret. Your Father who sees what is done in secret will reward you." I'm a firm believer in fasting for specific reasons. I don't believe in fasting for fasting's sake because somebody told you to fast. But if Yah tells you to fast, the Ruach HaKodesh tells you to fast, definitely fast. Fasting brings and strengthens faith. I know it because I've done it many times, not just for myself, but fasted for the healings of others to get the breakthrough. I personally did a 6-week fast of special teas and special vegetable juices that was made in Switzerland but brought off the shelf at Flannery's for healing of cancer in 2005. I also worked full-time during the fast, and nobody knew I was fasting except that I was losing weight. I will never, ever ask anyone to do anything that I have not done myself and seen Yah's miraculous hand at work. Fasting can bring a breakthrough, as even Yeshua said in Matthew chapter 17 verse 21, "This kind does not come out except through prayer and fasting." In Messianic Jews Hebrews chapter 1 and verse 9, it says, "You have loved righteousness and hated wickedness. Therefore, Elohim Zevaot has anointed you with the oil of joy in preference to your companions." In 2 Corinthians 1 and verse 21, "Moreover, it is Elohim who sets both us and you in firm union with the Messiah. He has anointed us, ordained us as believers." In Luke 7:46, "You didn't put oil on my head, but this woman poured perfume on my feet." This is the anointing of humility. As it says in Mishlei or Proverbs, tells us, a person must be humbled before they can be honoured. And in Mark 6, verse 13, they expelled many demons and they anointed many sick people with oil and healed them. This is where the signs follow the anointing and prove the anointing. The Ruach of Yehovah is upon me, in Luke 4:18. Therefore he has anointed me to announce good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim freedom of the imprisoned and renewed sight for the blind, to release those who have been crushed. This scripture is fulfilling the prophecy of Yeshayahu, or Isaiah, of the coming Messiah. It was saying this scripture that the fire of the Ruach HaKodesh fell upon Yeshua for ministry. But it's also where he was forever rejected by the people of Nazareth. He was never recognized as a prophet or the Messiah in his own hometown. It's like what the proverb says, familiarity breeds contempt. He was too familiar to them, and they couldn't accept him. But the anointing can rest on you. In Shemot Exodus chapter 6 and verse 7, it says, I will take you as my people, and I will be your Elohim. Then you will know that I am Yehovah your Elohim, who freed you from the forced labor of the Egyptians. And in verse 9, Moshe said this to the people of Israel, but they wouldn't listen to him because they were so discouraged and their slavery was so cruel. Many of us can be so discouraged. We are not in slavery yet, even though our premier would like us to be. Many are certainly discouraged with loss of jobs, loss of income, not knowing what will happen to our children if we send them into the school system this year with the current mandates. Being locked out of what is normal, the ability to go to restaurants and cafes, the theatre or the cinema, which is the current situation for some people today. This is bondage or slavery to a point, never before experienced in my lifetime. Mind you, if I was born in Russia where my father was born during the Second World War, I wouldn't be standing here today. He wasn't born during the Second World War, I was. He was born during the First World War. Let us take a quick look at whom Yehovah has anointed in history. Noah was anointed when he built the ark. Moshe was anointed when he preached to Pharaoh. Abraham was anointed ever since he left his hometown. Eliyahu or Elijah was anointed when he called fire from heaven. Jochanan the Immerser was anointed when he preached repentance. Yeshayahu Uzziah had the anointing of boldness when he preached to kings. Kepha or Peter was anointed when he preached on the day of Shavuot. Shaul, Paul, was anointed when spreading the gospel. The apostles were anointed with signs following them. Adonai Yeshua was anointed all the way till Golgotha, through the resurrection to the outpouring of the Ruach HaKodesh on the Messianic community. So I want to look now at the keys to the anointing. In Mark 3, verses 14 to 15, it says, He appointed, that's Yeshua appointed, 12 to be with him, to be sent out to preach, and to have authority to expel demons. Yeshua appointed his 12 Talmudim and anointed them. But how did they do it? Here are seven steps that will help you. 1. Remove and confess any hidden sin that is in your heart. 2. Prayer and fasting. 3. Study Yehovah's word on disciplined basis. 4. Attend synagogue or shul, that is a place of assembly. It's also known as a Beit Knesset. Knesset is the word for assembly, a house of assembly, on a regular basis. Evangelizing the lost, if that is your gifting. Stay active in your ministry whatever it may be. And have a sincere love for your brothers and sisters in Yeshua. And there is a mathematical formula for anointing. Anointing in your life gives anointing to your family. That gives anointing to the Messianic community, which in turn brings apostolic revival for our services. I believe in 2022 is going to bring us growth as far more people are being drawn to Yah with a conviction to follow the Torah, which is a revelation that was missing in their lives. Many people believe that if you follow Yeshua and worship on the Sunday, which worships the sun god, Zeus, changed by the Romans way back in the 3rd or 4th century, that they are following the correct way. Yeshua observed the Sabbath, the Shabbat. Yeshua always worshipped on the Shabbat. Yeshua kept the festivals, but according to the scripture, not according to man-made tradition. And I believe that more and more believers are going to come back to the true word of Yah and disregard the traditions of man. And I think that whether it's this plague that we're going through at the moment or what, it is going to bring people closer to Yah, and they want going to serve him in spirit and in truth. And they can only do that by observing Torah. In Acts 4 and verse 4 it says, "However, many of those who heard the message trusted. The number of men alone was about 5,000. We know that was at Shavuot. And in verse 14 of the same chapter, "And throngs of believers were added to the Lord, both men and women." They then went on to always worship on Shabbat. So the word of Yehovah continued to spread. The number of Talmudim in Yerushalayim increased rapidly, and a large crowd of Kohanim, or priests, were becoming obedient to the faith. In Acts 11 and verse 21 it says, "The hand of Yehovah was with them, and a great number of people trusted and turned to El Adonai." That is our Lord God. In Acts 12 and verse 24, "But the word of Yehovah went on growing and being multiplied." Acts 16:5, "Accordingly the congregations were strengthened in faith and increased in number day by day." Acts 19 and verse 20, "Thus the message of El Adonai continued in a powerful way to grow in influence." Yeshua chose 12 ordinary men. He taught them, then he anointed them with the Ruach HaKodesh. It was these 12 that turned the world upside down. The key point to that, to me, is that it's time now for us to turn the world upside down. There could never be a better time than this, when so many people are in turmoil. Yehovah chooses the humble, the lowly, the meek, and the weak. Yehovah's favourite instruments are the nobodies of this world, so that no man can boast before Yehovah. Let us look at these 12 Talmudim. One, they lacked spiritual understanding. Yeshua kept teaching and preaching to them. Even after his resurrection for 40 days, he was speaking of the things pertaining to the kingdom of Yehovah. They lacked humility. Yeshua became a servant and washed their feet, and Caiaphas tried to refuse this servant action. They lacked faith. Four times in Matityahu, it says, "O you of little faith." And Yeshua just kept performing miracles in front of them. They lacked commitment. They were fine, but when the crowd was cheering and miracles happened, but when they arrested Yeshua, they were gone. Yeshua had to pray for them in Yochanan 17 to stay faithful. They lacked power. Yeshua poured out the Ruach HaKodesh on them on the day of Shavuot, or Pentecost. Have we got the picture? They are 12 ordinary men, all with frailties that each and every one of us have. But Yeshua trusted them, and he used them. In Matityahu chapter 10, verse 1, it says, Yeshua called his 12 Talmudim and gave them authority to drive out unclean spirits and to heal every kind of disease and weakness. And further down in verse 8 it says, heal the sick, raise the dead, cleanse those afflicted with Zara'at, expel demons. You have received without payment, so give without asking payment. This is the very verse that told me when we started Beit Gan Eden that we were not to receive any monetary salary from it. Running costs were acceptable, but an offering was to be for the orphan, the widow, and the downtrodden. Therefore, every person in ministry or speaking from this pulpit is a volunteer. Everyone supports themselves financially. Minister Malachi, in his 70s, is still running his own business today with the help of the age pension. In Mark chapter 6 and verse 7, Yeshua summoned the 12 and started sending them out in pairs, giving them authority over the unclean spirits. This is why you will find most of our ministry team as couples. When you are operating in your gifts and ministering to the lost, you will be attacked spiritually and physically by the evil one. This is why it's always safer in pairs, so that you have protection and another to pray for you when needed. In Mark 16 and verse 17, it says, these signs of miracles will accompany those who do trust. In my name they will drive out demons, speak with new tongues. And in verse 18, not be injured if they handle snakes or drink poison, and heal the sick by laying on hands on them. And in Luke 10:19, remember, I have given you authority so you can trample down snakes and scorpions, indeed all the enemy's forces, and you will remain completely unharmed. I believe the anointing is at the door. From our reading today in Shemot chapter 10 and verse 3, Moshe and Aharon went into Paro and said to him, here is what Yehovah Elohim of the Hebrews says. How much longer will you refuse to submit to me? Let my people go so that you can worship me. In Malachim Aleph, or 1 Kings chapter 18 verse 21, Eliyahu stepped forward before all the people and said, how long are you going to jump back and forth between two positions? If Yehovah is Elohim, follow him. If it's Baal, follow him. And the people answered him not a word. And in Shemot 8, chapter 8, verse 23, yes, I will distinguish my people and your people, and this sign will happen tomorrow. There is already a mark that can distinguish between those who follow Yah and those who don't. We have to show ours before we can enter many places, just to live as we did before COVID-19 in our local community to this day. Do you have a tick of approval, or are you rejected? In Shemot chapter 9 and verse 6, it says, the following day Yehovah did it. All the livestock of Egypt died. Not one of the animals belonging to the people of Israel died. Which one? The one with the tick, or the one without the tick? Shemot 9 and verse 26. But in the land of Goshen, where the people of Israel were, there was no hail. They were separated. They were rescued. Shemot 10 and verse 23. The people couldn't see each other, and no one went anywhere for 3 days. But all the people of Israel had light in their homes. Is the light shining in your home today? Does the Ruach HaKodesh fill your home with light? In Shemot 11 and verse 17, not even a dog's growl will be heard against any of the people of Israel, neither against people nor against animals. In this way you will realize that Adonai distinguishes between Egyptians and Israel. And in verse 3 of Shemot 11, Yehovah made the Egyptians favorably disposed towards the people. Moreover, Moshe was regarded by Pharaoh's servants and the people as a great man in the land of Egypt. Yehovah shows favor to those who love him, who are called according to his word and do not add or subtract from it. He will honor this in our lives. Nothing is too hard for him to achieve. He has proved it in scripture so many times over. He can bring water out of a rock. He can make a donkey talk. He can give double portion of the ruach. He can knock down the walls of Jericho. He can make the sun stand still until a battle is won. He can wipe out the Philistine with a jawbone. He can deliver 3 men in a fiery furnace. He can turn water into wine. He can walk on water. He can fill empty nets with fish. He can feed a multitude. He can go to a stake, but the nails would not hold him. He can go to a grave, but the stone could not contain him. That's the anointed Elohim that we serve. There were not just Hebrews who were saved from Jehovah's wrath, but all who believed, Hebrews and Egyptians alike. I'm going to finish with these last scriptures to give you confidence in your own personal decisions at this time. In Shemot chapter 9 and verse 21, whoever among Pharaoh's servants feared what Jehovah had said, had his slaves and his livestock escape into the houses. And those who had no regard for what Jehovah had said left their slaves and livestock in the field. Jehovah saves all those, regardless of race, regardless of who they are, but are prepared to follow him. It does cost. We sometimes have to let go of people, even family, who do not want to travel on his path. But as one of Jehovah's mightily anointed men of faith, Yehoshua said in Yehoshua 24:15, and any visitor that visits my house and stays in my guest room that has a stairway leading up to heaven, as you open the door, emblazoned on the door, I call it my upper room. In this room is a plaque, and it says this verse, if it seems bad to you to serve Jehovah, then choose today whom you are going to serve. Will it be the gods of your ancestors served beyond the river, or the gods of the Emory in whose land you are living? As for me and my household, we will serve Jehovah. As for me and my household, we will serve Jehovah. Can I hear an amen to that? Amen. That's my message today. If anyone's got any questions, we'll go into the remembrance service.